The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
And by All-Star Vacation Homes, who are offering a last-minute Orlando vacation special. The special runs from September 22nd to December 19th, and you would get a fifth night free when you stay for four nights. That's right. To take advantage of this special, call 1-866-385-5384. And for more information, you can visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
This is Susanna Cruz, and I am from Chicago, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 220 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa. And with me on the show is Michelle Scribner-McLean.
Mike Scopa of the what?
Mike Scopa of, I don't know.
Aren't you of the WWToday podcast? And touringplans.com
and a couple other things.
All right. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
I'm very well today. How are you?
I'm doing okay, all things considered. It's just another day.
You're not ready for Halloween? What are you going to dress up as this year?
I'm going to dress up as, I haven't decided
something
yet.
With leotards?
Maybe I'm going to dress up like a snowman.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. That'll be interesting.
I will be so very white.
Oh, good. All right. Well, I'm sure the person to whom we're giving a shout out today will be happy to hear that, although I couldn't imagine why. Her name is Sarah Miller Reiger, and she did the Chosen Marathon for Adoption. That's kind of cool, huh?
Wow.
Yeah, I like that. Also, another shout out to Ricky Lambert, who did a slime run, which I think must be really fun. Unless it's cold like it is.
A slime
run? Yeah, I guess you get slimed. See, that's something I would do, but you would never do.
No.
But maybe if you're dressed up as a snowman, you wouldn't notice it. Hey, maybe. Mike, is it question day today?
It's question day, and that means we're answering questions.
We have a lot of questions. Thanks for sending in the questions.
Thank you for sending in all the questions. Do you want to read the first one?
Yes, this is a long one, so sit back, folks, or get in gear to do a few miles. This is from our buddy John Thompson, and he says, "Welcome back from the Tower of Terror 10-miler. This is a follow-up question to one I had asked on WDW Today." I've heard of that podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I am doing the 2015 Dopey Challenge, and my question was about touring the parks after the races, specifically the 5K and the 10K. Mike's advice on WDW Today was to walk the 5K. Excellent advice, but I'm not sure it'll work for me. I apologize for the length of this email, but as now I'm starting serious dopey-specific training, I feel a need to come up with a strategy on how to approach the races. So here goes. First, I really have four goals of the races. In order of importance, they are, number one, finish. Number two, get a picture with Dopey. Number three, have as much fun, take as many pictures as possible. Number four, finish all of the races within a 16-minute mile time. About that last goal, it's not that I'm worried about being swept, I'm not, but I want to take it easy and have fun while still coming in with an official time limit. I know it's possible to come in well under that pace and staying ahead of the balloon ladies, but it's not just about finishing, but rather it's just a goal I've set for myself. So far, so good, John. The thing is, it's the 5K I'm most worried about. The reason is because if this year is like last year, the photo op with Dopey will be during the 5K and the line will be long. Oh, I see where he's going with this. I see where he's going. If I do the 5K at for what for me is a regular 5K pace, I may have at most about 20 minutes to spare and get a Dopey picture and stay within the 16-minute per mile pace. So here are my questions. Number one, do you agree it's likely Dopey will be on the 5K course? Mike?
John, yes. He will be at Germany, most likely. And last year when we passed by, there were about 100 and 85, maybe as many as 200 people in line. And with so many characters out, I would not worry about the 16-minute pace. But if you want to, you may want to, just run a little bit faster when you get there. But he will definitely, I can't say definitely, but I would expect that he will be at Germany.
Number two, do you think 20 minutes or so will be enough time? I think it will be enough time. I don't think Run Disney is going to shut down anything when there are people in line waiting to get pictures with characters for the 5K.
I don't think anybody got swept last year. The only person I saw was, I think someone got hurt and hurt his leg.
Heard anybody getting swept in a 5K?
I don't believe so, no.
I don't think so either, so I think you'll be fine. Number three, if 20 minutes is not enough, should I still run at a regular 5K pace and avoid getting swept if I want to get a picture? I think we answered that one already. Mm-hmm. I really think you're going to be absolutely fine. Somebody who we could ask this question of is our friend Kim Torres-Markey, because we know that she was about 100th in line. You counted, I think. And she definitely got pictures. She always gets pictures, and I'm sure she came in well under the time. So if we think about how many pictures they take in a minute with Dopey, I'm thinking it's probably one every 15 seconds. So maybe even faster than that. So, all right. And the fourth one is, should I just chuck the whole idea of the thought of any time at all, at least for the 5K, take the course easy and still get the pick with Dopey? In other words, don't worry, be happy.
So, John, we have done the 5K with friends who have looked at that. That was their very first 5K. And I can tell you that I think the longest it took us, and we walked it, we did it in an hour and 15 minutes. So
we didn't stop for any characters.
We didn't stop for any characters. We just walked. Mm-hmm. So it was an hour and 15 minutes doing 3 miles. So, mm-hmm.
Fabulous.
Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. It just took our time, and it's fun. It's a fun race. It's really enjoyable. So yeah, maybe you should chuck the whole thought of any time at all. And think about this. Think about how you're going to get up four mornings in a row really early, and you need to really preserve your energy for the last 2 days. So you may want to consider taking it easy on the 5K. Maybe not so easy on the 10K, but still take it easy, and then you'll be fine.
I think also that he's going into this with the right attitude. He's doing it with his goals in mind, and he's doing it to have fun. And I think he should be happy. I mean, I really think that he should do what makes him happy, and Dopey, getting a picture of Dopey is right up there on top. I'm hoping that Run Disney will have heard what people asked last year, because there was a complaint about not enough Dopeys, and I'm hoping that, you know, it would be really nice for all of those four races if Dopey had a presence for those people doing Dopey. You know, there's Dopey on the 10K, there's Dopey on the half, and then there's Dopey on the full. That would be really nice.
I agree. And John, just to reinforce what Michelle said, if I were going to do Dopey, that's what I would do. I would say I'm going to take each race very easy, and I'm looking for maybe a 15 and a half minute pace, because why kill yourself? You're spending a lot of money. You want to enjoy yourself. So good luck.
And he says, thanks from a dyed-in-the-wool Mickey Miler. Thanks, John. He's very supportive of the team. Okay, next question, Mike.
Our next question is from Ben Ashcraft, and Ben says, I really enjoy your podcast. I look forward to every show, and listening to your show has really inspired me to run the Dopey someday. My question is about shoes. I have a pair of shoes that I just picked up at the local athletic store. They fit great, and I really like to run in them. Then I went to a running store, and the salesman watched me on the treadmill and brought out several pairs of shoes. I have flat feet, so they were support shoes. I bought the pair that felt the best. But now my shins hurt after I run in them. Are they not broken in yet, or are they just the wrong shoes for me? I don't look forward to running in them on those days in which they are in the rotation. Thank you for your show. I hope to meet you at Marathon Weekend, as my wife and I will be running in our first Run Disney Half Marathon. Signed, Ben Ashcraft. Okay, Michelle. Do you want to address this question about the shoes?
Ben, I think this is a great question. I'm curious as to why, if you've had a pair of shoes that worked for you, you went to the running store, maybe because we preach that on this show. I have had an experience at the running store where I got some shoes that didn't feel right on me. In fact, I think they caused me to have sort of an Achilles issue. And my rule of thumb is, if it feels, if you're, makes any part of your body feel sore, do not use those shoes. I would not use those shoes. I would stick to the ones that feel comfortable. We often talk about going to the running store and being fitted properly, but there are many, 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 many people who have lots of success going to their local Dick's Sporting Goods or Sports Authority and buying a pair of shoes that feels comfortable for them. And if that's working for you, then you should do that. So I say go with what works. If you want to rotate shoes, which I think is a good idea, buy another pair of the same shoes. And if you're having no problems, you should use those shoes. So don't feel like you need to go to the running store if what you're doing works for you. Mike?
You know, Ben, if anybody knows what can happen when you change shoes, it's going to be Michelle. So you're listening to the voice of...
I'm always looking for the better, the faster.
You're listening to the voice of experience, and I agree with her 100%. The people at a running store, they try their best. They're not always going to be right. Hopefully they're right most of the time, but when it comes to actually finding out if a shoe is good for you, you really won't know until you run for a while in the shoes. And then if things happen, then you know that there's something going on that tells you to go back to your regular shoes. So if the other ones feel good and you can run the distance that you want to run in them and without any problems and in the time that you like, then I would stick with them.
Yeah, Ben, let us know what happens. I hope, hopefully your aches and pains will go away. And we definitely hope to see you in January and your wife as well. The next question or the next email is from Ed Ramos. And Mike, we met Ed and his family, and I think they're from Seattle. Yeah. So he says, "Hi, Mike and Michelle. I wanted to provide you with an update on my question. It was very simple. I canceled my dining reservation." And I'm not really sure what the question was, but I'm glad that it worked out. I canceled my dining reservation. My wife was very supportive of my run and concerned that I'd be... he wanted to know if he needed to cancel before going to the race. Yes, I remember now. She was concerned that I'd be rushed to the Tower Terror 10-miler and I would not be properly rested. After the 5K, we spent more time than we wanted at the expo and missed breakfast at Artist Point at Saratoga Springs. So we had a light sandwich for brunch and then some leftovers from the night before from Tutu Italia. I ate some fruit and yogurt just before I loaded in the bus at 7:15, and I had a great relaxed race. The smartest thing I could ever have done was to do less. Relax, stay off my feet, especially after several days of already touring the parks. Bravo, Ed. That's awesome. It was great to meet both of you at your dessert party. My family and I felt very welcome, and we felt like we had longtime friends we had never met. My first Disney race was more than I expected. I was so excited throughout the whole day. I'm really glad I made the decision to relax before the race. Just a little info I'd like to share on my first race. It did not go as planned. I took off way too fast, jumping and weaving in my Superman costume like I was a real superhero. Then something I remember from listening to your show was to start off slower than you would expect, so I slowed down. I was so excited to see the first character stop, Jafar. I waited in line longer than I would have liked, but I was way behind my goal pace, so I took off again like a real superhero, diving and weaving and jumping and skipping and flying if I could have, through the masses trying to catch up with my goal time. And I wore myself out. Until I got to the area where the bystanders were cheering, where my adrenaline kicked in, and I did more of the same. I was trying to take so many pictures and video that my iPhone, with my iPhone, listening to music, using Map My Run, and capture this experience forever, that my phone died around mile 6. Such a bummer. I was using Map My Run during training to keep a steady pace and to take walk breaks, so I had to wing it. I put my phone away, headphones off, kept a steady pace, and I walked when I felt like it, took off when the adrenaline kicked in, and had a very disappointing time. However, this was one of the best and funnest experiences that I've ever had. I did not care about my time. So here are my own tips for a Disney race. If you want to take pictures, don't use your phone. If you're using it for music, bring a small camera. Decide how many people you're willing to wait in line for the picture. My next race would be 5. Listen to your favorite episode of the Mickey Miles podcast for the first couple of miles during your Run Disney race to remind yourself of the great tips from Mike and Michelle. Oh my goodness, Ed is quickly becoming one of my favorite listeners. And make sure you don't take off too quickly and don't go home the next day or your legs will be sore on the plane, especially if it's a plane back to Seattle like mine. So, a couple of questions. We should have had Ed on the show to ask all these things. You give a lot of advice before a race and during a race. However, I have not heard you talk about what to do after a Disney race. My longest race includes 2 half marathons and the Tower of Terror 10 miler. Each time I hoard any food or drink that I can get my hands on, Gatorade, nuts, bananas, whatever's available to the runners after the race. Each of these races, I come out with very bad stomach issues. Tips on after the race routines would be great. Stretching and eating and things like that. Mike, that's a good idea for a show. We should just have a whole show on what to do after a race.
Yes, it is.
What do you like to do, just quickly?
Well, what I like to do, Ed, first I want to just correct something. It sounded like he had breakfast at Artist Point at Saratoga Springs. I believe they were staying at Saratoga Springs, but they wanted to go to Artist Point at Wilderness Lodge.
Yeah.
So let's talk about eating after a race.
Oh, you know, there's an artist, what's it called? There's a little quick serve at Saratoga Spring called Artist Point or something like that. Yeah, that's what you're probably talking about.
Been to Saratoga Springs maybe twice in my life. And let's talk about running. I think that what you might be doing is you may be so ravenously hungry after a race that you probably are eating a lot of things really fast, and it's hitting your stomach, and your stomach is saying, you know, I'm not really happy about this. So one of the things that I would suggest is try to think about how you deal with nutrition during the course of the race. If you're dealing with gels or chalk blocks or anything like that, and maybe you need to take a look at that and see what you can do to keep that steady. And we've heard about how when you have gels in a race that you should think about taking a gel every 45 minutes so that you're in a consistent level with nutrition. And the other thing is that after the race, maybe deal with some water instead of Gatorade. Maybe the Gatorade is something you can do during the race, but maybe you need some water afterwards. I think what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to try to figure out what is bothering your stomach. Only you will be able to figure that out. So be very careful. Don't take your food in really fast. One of the things that, the Carissa or Tara told us is that things will hit your stomach right around 15 minutes after you eat it. You'll be able to tell how it is. So I would say just take it easy. Maybe the banana should be fine. But I would say the banana and the Gatorade or water, and then wait about 15 minutes and then decide if you're still hungry.
So I agree with what you said. I still think we should do a show about this and mm-hmm. have Tara come on and mm-hmm. and guide us through this. That was an unintended pun. I think that one of the things that we know is that everybody's different. And what works for you, Mike, is not going to work for me, might not work for Ed, or it might work very well. I think that when you do a long-distance race, there's a reason that we take in gels and Gatorade instead of stopping and having a pastrami sandwich. Aside from the time and the choking factor, your stomach probably can't take it. I think your body is working on getting energy to your muscles, and you need to have something light. Mike and I were just talking about this yesterday. Everybody's a little different. For me, I'm fine for like an hour after the race. I don't want anything at all except for liquids and maybe some Gatorade. And then about 2 hours later, I start to get really, really hungry. So I would not, although there are lots of goodies, I don't often eat the goodies that are given to me for a while until after I eat a banana. And then I kind of hold off. So you're going to have to see what works for you. But I think this is a great topic. And maybe people can chime in on the Facebook page about what they do. All right, his next question is, Mike and Michelle, do you listen to music during a race? I found it much more enjoyable when I took off the headphones and took in the atmosphere, except for the huffing and puffing of others. Mike?
Yes, I do listen to music. And it depends upon how fast I want to run as to what I actually listen to. What I'll do is I'll listen to songs and decide what I'm going to put on my playlist based upon how fast I want to run. I count the number of beats per second. But also, Eddie, when I'm running a race and I know that there's some music coming on, I'll take earphones out of the earbuds out so I can listen to see what's going on. I know that for Wine and Dine, when I have run Wine and Dine, when I run through the streets of America, I like to listen to the Osborne Lights music. So
That's when I don't listen to music. But yeah, I listen to music.
Mike is a curator of music running lists. He spends more time than anybody I know. I throw things into a folder on iTunes and shuffle it. And I add Halloween music around Halloween, and I add Christmas music around Christmas. Other than that, I just kind of let it go. I will say that I don't listen to podcasts unless I'm doing something over like 14 miles. Then I might listen to a book on tape. When I'm running a Disney race, I do listen to music because there are those stretches when there's no entertainment. And then as soon as I hear a DJ or as soon as I get into a water stop area, because I think it's important to be able to hear, or as soon as I hear a marching band, then I turn the music off. So I'm constantly turning it off and turning it on. But I do have my iPod shuffle for those times when there's nothing there, and I just whatever. I think it's kind of fun for me to not know what song is coming up, so that's the way I do it. So Ed finishes with, sorry for such a long email. I wanted to share with my new friends my experience and say thanks for the guidance that you've provided during training. Keep up the good work. 2016 marathon weekend. I think I'm going to do the full marathon. I need to try to say it at least once. And I want it to be at Disney. I need to try it at least once, I should say. I want it to be at Disney. Okay, the next question, Mike.
It comes from Donna Magrini. Excuse me, Donna. I hope I pronounced your name correctly. She says, hi. Hey, Mike and Mike. She says, hey, Mike and Michelle. I'm a little behind in my episode listening, but today I listened to episode 205. That's the one where a fellow listener gave Mike a what are the odds question regarding Mike ever running a full marathon. And while I know this is weird, but I just about burst into tears because 2016 is my full year. And the thought of someone else I know, yeah, I really feel like you two are my buddies. Is that weird? Taking on the same marathon gave me goosebumps. All I could think of was, wow, how cool would it be to run my first marathon the same day as one of my biggest running inspirations. I know, Mike, the training is next to impossible, but if it makes you feel any better, I will be battling the furnace temps of Arizona that summer as I get started on my training. Just had to send you a note to let you know how very special it would be if I could shake your hand the day we both somehow managed 26.2. Even if you don't run it, I still can't wait to say hello to both of you and Michelle Marathon Weekend 2016. You both inspire me every week. Keep up the wonderful podcast, signed Donna Magrini. And she says, P.S., I asked a question a while back regarding princess registration a while back, and I did it. My best friend and I are running the 5 and 10K Princess Weekend. Thanks again for all you do. Well, thank you, Donna, for that message. I know that I've talked about this before, and I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but in order for anyone to run a marathon and do it the smart way and complete it without any problems, you need to have the time to train. I don't presently have the, with my schedule, I presently don't have the time. I have about 6 months to make up that decision, and we'll see what happens. I'm not going to rule out anything, but right now it's 50-50 right now. Oh, yeah. And I would be honored to shake your hand on that day,
too. And we do feel like you're our friend. Yes, yes. Yeah, you and I talked about this a little yesterday. And
yeah, Bernie's the guy who challenged me, remember?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I would love it, too. I would definitely, and I know you'd have a lot of running buddies to run with you, but it is a lot of time. It's a lot of time. Okay. The next question is from Athne Thomas. And Athne says, hi, Mike and Michelle. Recently started listening to the show and love it. Michelle is so psyched that you run to the Broadway version of The Lion King. I recommend that to people all the time as good running music, and they look at me like I'm crazy. Also, Touch the Sky. My playlist is fairly short, and how random that we shared several tunes. I recommend that you give the overture from Kevin Costner's classic Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, a whirl. It's both motivating and embarrassingly moving. I think they play it outside of the studios as part of the loop, so it's got a park connection. I will be turning 30 on January 10th, 2016, and have decided that the best way to celebrate this milestone is by reaching a long-term fitness goal of mine by running a half marathon. My training is going really well, and I'm glad that I have plenty of time to build up a healthy base. I never thought I would say that 6 miles is a standard run for me. My question, first of many, I'm sure, regards DVC, of which I am a member. I know that DVC members get to register early for some of the races, but is that all of them? Do you know if Marathon Weekend is normally included? Do you sign up online or should I call? Is there a limit on how many people the DVC member can register? I'm signing myself and at least four of my best friends up. I want to make sure we all get registered, no problem. Like I said, love the show, and I'll see you on the road. Should I tackle this one, Mike?
I'm going to defer to you.
Okay. Yeah. So, yes, you can register early. It's usually about a week early for DVC. If you go on the DVC member website, there's a thing called member perks, and usually it has the code. And it's something, it's usually something like DVC runner, run DVC. And there's a link there, and then you can go to active.com and sign up. In the past, I've signed up another person who's not a DVC member. I haven't signed up four people, but I actually don't see any reason why you couldn't do that. Now, let's get ready for this big savings. It's $10 a person. So, you know, $10 a person is $10 a person. It's not a huge amount of money, but it does save a little bit. As far as I know, all the races are included. I don't know any race that I've signed up for that I haven't had that option. If I'm wrong, somebody please correct me, but that's my understanding of it. In terms of limited space, yes, it is limited. They put aside a certain number. I've missed that a few times. I've been sort of lackadaisical, or I've been doing something at work during the day when they open up the DVC registration and have lost out. So make sure that when it opens, if it's a popular race, if it's one that you really want to do, it sounds like a marathon weekend. The half marathon, I don't think it's going to be a huge, huge issue. It won't fill up really super fast. But if keep your eyes open. People usually post it on our Facebook page if we don't, and then you can jump on and hopefully register your friends too. Mike, anything to add?
Nope, I think you handled that very, very well.
Yes, thank you.
Our last question comes from Marlon Yoder. And Marlon says, I am running the Dopey in January, and I have a few questions. This will be my first Run Disney event. Wow, his first one, and he's running the Dopey. First, I have dinner reservations at Boma on Wednesday. Is there transportation from the World of Sports to Jumbo House? Normally, there is not, from what I can tell, but I think I saw somewhere that all Disney resorts are host hotels, so I assume there would be Disney bus service. I am trying to figure out how long it will take to get me there, as I am not renting a car. Michelle?
Well, this is Animal Kingdom Lodge, right? We talk about Jumbo House.
Yes.
Yeah, so definitely there's going to be transportation from Animal Kingdom Lodge. So there might be a little bit of walking, but not too much. Right. You'll be fine. Okay. Yeah, what a great place, too.
Second question, he says, is the after party at Downtown Disney worth attending? Want to know if I should make dinner reservations that evening or just wing it and go there. I can't find anywhere that tells me what and where the discounts are. Well, Marlon, I know that Michelle and I have never attended the after party, so we can't tell you if it's worth attending.
I actually have heard anecdotally from people who said it wasn't, some people said it was okay, but maybe would not make the effort to go down there. So the discounts, I'm sure, I guess he's talking about discounts to the party. And I guess we don't really know the answer to this one.
But, you know, I may get some email on this, but I am very skeptical of any after party events, after races, even the pasta parties. I've talked to some people who have gone to these, and the question that I think is always the best telling question is, would you do it again? And there are no repeaters, so... you can take that for what it's worth, Marlon. If there is anybody out there who has gone to the after party event at Downtown Disney, we would love to hear from you, and hopefully you can shed some light and help Marlon on this question. Marlon's third question is, what time of year does registration normally open for the Disneyland half in August?
Should I tackle this one?
Yes.
Since I actually have one of the things that we really like that Run Disney did at the Tower of Terror race weekend is they actually published the whole race schedule for the entire year. So next year, 2015, the race weekend will be September 4th to the 6th. And that race opens up in January. I know because I remember signing up for it while I was away at a conference last year. So usually the races open up about 8 months before, 8 or 9 months before the race goes. And this is, I'm sure, going to be no exception. Unless Run Disney changes their policy, that's when it will open. All right. Great questions.
I believe that's all we have time for right now, Michelle, but we have a whole bunch. We're going to have to do another question show fairly soon.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. We always like it when people call and they leave their questions on our Skype line. And if you want to do that, you can call and we will play your question and answer your question on the show. That number, if you want to call, is 407-545-2141. Leave your name and where you're from. We'd love to hear your question. And if you don't want to, you can send us a question on Twitter at Mickey Miles Pod, on our Facebook page, or at questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. And our buddy Alex Armas, who is our wonderful question guy, will compile it and we will read it on an upcoming show.
And with we're in the height of Disney, Run Disney race season with everything going on, I'm sure that there are going to be some questions that come up, so please don't hesitate to send them in.
Yeah, definitely.
So for Michelle Scrivener-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
And by All-Star Vacation Homes, who are offering a last-minute Orlando vacation special. This special runs from September 22nd to December 19th, and you would get a fifth night free when you stay for 4 nights. That's right. To take advantage of this special, call 1-866-385-5384. And for more information, you can visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.